Hello, and welcome to a searchdatamanagement.com podcast. I'm Jeff Kelly, news editor. So what's the point of analyzing incorrect, out-of-date, or mislabeled data? Actually, that's a trick question. There really is no point, which is why achieving comprehensive data quality, that is, ensuring the accuracy, reliability, and effectiveness of data, is so critical to business success. But data quality is still an emerging field, one often overlooked by companies and organizations. To help you understand how to start a data quality program, searchdatamanagement.com recently caught up with Arkady Medonchik, a member of the Data Quality Group, and author of the recent book, Data Quality Assessment. But before we get started, here's a little more background on Arkady. He is a recognized practitioner, author, and educator in the field of data quality and information integration. His data quality management methodology was used to provide data quality services to numerous Fortune 500 companies. Arkady is a frequent speaker at various conferences and seminars. He is the author of the aforementioned Data Quality Assessment book and a contributor to many journals and online publications. So you said that data quality assessment is the starting point for any data quality program. Now, can you explain to our listeners what a data quality assessment is and why it's so important, especially when starting out any kind of data quality program?
Sure. Basically, we've been talking about data quality probably for the last 10 or 15 years, and back 10 years ago, it was not a very popular topic, and now it seems like it is a very popular topic. Everybody wants to talk about it. Everybody says our data is really bad. A lot of people are saying, hey, let's try to do something about it. Let's try to fix the problems. Let's try to improve the processes. But the reality is you cannot fix the problem until you know what it is. And that actually is one of the reasons why, even though we've been talking about data quality for 10 or 12 years, not much really has been done. Frankly, the data quality deteriorated over the last 10 years quite a bit. Data quality assessment is the process of taking your existing data and systematically going through it and identifying what's wrong with it, where are the data problems, and then connecting that to your real business process and understanding how does data problems impact your processes and what is really the cost of your data quality problems. Once you have done that, then you can do a lot of things. You can then say, okay, now we understand how much it costs. So now we can possibly do a return investment analysis and figure out if it makes sense for us to invest money into fixing some problems. Once you know where the problems are, you can try to analyze where they came from, do root cause analysis, and try to do some prevention activities to prevent them from happening in the future. But so this all relies on the fact that you know where your problems are and what they cost the organizations. It's important first step for both the technical reasons and the political reasons. Political reasons are also important. Let's understand that data quality profession is still in its infancy. Most organizations today don't really have data quality departments. So most of them are making the first step, and I oftentimes have people coming to me and they're saying, hey, we think our data is bad. We want to start data quality management program, but so we need somehow to sell it to our management. And they're saying, hey, is there any template? Is there any way we can go to our management and tell them, prove to them that we need data quality management program? And the truth is that you cannot just go and say, hey, everybody's talking about it, and there are many reasons why you need to do data quality management. What you need to do is you need to show how it affects your specific organization. Until you have that knowledge, you really can't, you really can't get any budget or start any program. So both on the side of starting a program and on the side of getting anything done, you need to have a specific systematic knowledge of what is wrong with your data and how does it impact your business.
Mm-hmm. You've also talked about data quality rules, and what role do they play, and why are they so crucial to the outcome of any data quality program, as you wrote in your recent book?
Right. Well, let's think about it. Now, we said that we want to find the problems with our data. Now, fundamentally, there is three approaches that you can follow. One is what we'll call a complete manual validation. Basically, take every piece of data and compare it with some trusted source. Maybe it's a paper file, or maybe it's checking with some real people that have the knowledge of that information. Now, that is totally impractical because our databases are made of millions or billions of data pieces, so we really cannot do it. Now, the other way is to take the page from the common quality assessment. Data quality assessment is something reasonably new, but generally, quality assessment in any industry is something that's always done. Automobiles go through quality assessments, vacuum cleaners, airplanes, every product that is made out there goes for quality assessment. So the other approach is to say, let's try and pick up a sample of the data. So we have millions of records. Instead of doing all of them, we'll take a few hundred and analyze them. And based on their quality, we'll try to project how good is the quality of the rest of the data. Well, that also doesn't work because that can give us an idea of how bad the data is, but it's not going to point us to any specific data elements that are on, because we'll only know that about our sample. Now, fortunately, the beauty is, and in fact, if that was not the case, our profession would not exist. The beauty of the data is that it describes real complex objects. It describes people. It describes products. It describes customers. It describes processes. And all those things are complex, and they have many attributes and characteristics that are all intertwined, that are all interrelated. And so the attributes of the data itself are also tied by millions of different relationships. Those are the constraints on the valid values. Those are the relationships across different data elements, the relationships on the order in which certain events can occur, on the conditions under which events can occur, on the timing when certain measurements are made. So there is hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and, for bigger database, thousands of different constraints, and those are the ones we call data quality rules, constraints that we can apply to the data. And any time data violates those constraints, there is something wrong with it. Now, the beauty of this is that those constraints can be implemented in computer programs. And so we can run all of our data, no matter how large is our database, we can run all of the data through these constraints, and we can find basically within a very reasonable short time frame of the project, we can find all of the inconsistencies. Now, it's not going to be 100%, but we can find probably, in a typical project, you can find 95, 98% of all different potential data problems. So data quality rules are in the heart of this because they're really the tool. They're the main tool of a data quality professional.
And how do you assure that your data quality assessment is comprehensive and complete?
That's a very good question because it's quite easy to design a bunch of rules, but the challenge, the difficulty is to make sure that we did really find all the problems, and also the challenge is to make sure that the discrepancies we find are true problems. A kind of analogy I usually give is that if I was asked to be an umpire in a Major League Baseball game, now, if you look at the rule book has, I think, 136 or 137 rules. Now, let's say that I learned all but 10% of them. So I learned 120 rules. The odds that I'm going to cause a riot during the game because I'll miss some play are pretty high. Just knowing 90% of the rules doesn't really do the job. So the same problem is with the assessment. Because there are so many different constraints on the data you can think of, it's not that difficult to quickly write a short list of, you know, scores or hundreds of them, but how do we know that we're finding them all? Now, here actually is where the other approach, the sampling, comes to help us. What we do is first we come up with all these rules, and there's a very systematic approach to that. In my book, I dedicated basically half of the book to a systematic process of how to identify all of the different rules. But then what we do is pick up a sample of the data, and we use the true data experts, somebody that has a knowledge and access to the trusted data sources. And we ask the experts to validate a sample of the data, and then we compare their findings with the results of the rules. And basically the objective is, even though we're using the rules, we want to find all the same problems that a data expert would have found using the objective trusted data source approach. So once we match what data experts find with what the rules find, we'll see where the rules are, where the rules have shortcomings. There may be some errors that the experts found that our rules didn't. Well, then we should try to find what are any other kinds of constraints, what are other kinds of rules that we can design that will find those errors. On the other hand, we can say that there are some discrepancies that our rules indicate that experts believe are really not errors. So now the question is how we can refine, how we can fine-tune the rules to make sure that they don't really catch those false positives. So it's really a process of fine-tuning the rules is based on comparing the results of the automated assessment with a sampling validation of the data by data experts.
Mm-hmm. Now, we've heard a lot about data quality scorecards. In your own words, what exactly is a data quality scorecard, and what role does it play? How is it developed, and how does one work in the real world?
Well, data quality scorecard is really the final product of the data quality assessment. It's a common mistake that a lot of people think a final product of data quality assessment is, are a bunch of listings with errors. Each data quality rule, say we have a rule that says attribute gender has to have value M or F, and we're going to find a list of all records that have other values. Those are the errors. Now, if we have 1,000 rules, we're going to have 1,000 of error reports. The problem is that when you have, you're going to end up with listings that have thousands or tens of thousands of lines, but that really doesn't tell you how good or how bad your data is at the higher level. You really cannot translate this into real dollars. You can't translate it into how does it impact our business process, how much it costs our organization. That's where data quality scorecard comes into play. It's a hierarchy. On the top of it are a few meaningful numbers, which we call aggregate score. Each of them ties the data quality to some specific data use. So let's say you have a process that uses certain part of your data. And let's say we ask ourselves, given the existing data, how many times, how often the process is going to fail? What is the fraction of the data record that are relevant to this specific process that are correct? And the way we measure it is we narrow down once we found all the errors from all error reports, we narrow down the target subset that is relevant for this business purpose. And then we calculate the good records among those records that are relevant. So then we can say for this specific process, data quality is 95%. And for another process, data quality is 90%. And for a third process or for another use, data quality is 85%. We can differentiate it by business processes, by the different groups that use the data, and in many other ways. Once you have those aggregate scores, then we can basically translate that into the true cost for the business. We can say, okay, let's see what is the consequence of any specific type of data error. Let's say that if we have this type of data error, it causes us 3 hours of rework. Okay, that can be translated into costs, and now this 95% number can be translated into something meaningful. Now, that's the top level of data quality scorecard. It tells you what is the data quality for different business purposes or for different business uses. But, of course, below that, we have a hierarchy, so we have a ability to drill down and say, okay, so let's say that for this specific use, the quality is 95%. Well, what's really contributing to that? Maybe there are 10 different data elements that are used or 100 different data elements that are used for this purpose. Which of them really contributed mostly to the errors? So we can say data in one of the data elements has 99%, and the other one is maybe 89%. That helps us prioritize if we decide to try to improve the data. That helps us to prioritize and say, okay, if we want to improve this number from 95% to 97%, where should we look? Where should we start? And then the next layer from there is you can drill down and get into the specific error reports. And that's when you're really looking into any specific data errors and trying to fix them. So scorecard is a pyramid that provides both the high level numbers that tell you overall how good or how bad the data is and how does it impact your business. And on the bottom are the atomic level quality data that tell you whether any specific record is good or bad. And then there's obviously layers in between.
Right. What role in a data quality program does the metadata warehouse play, and what is it, and ultimately how does it improve help improve data quality?
The quality of the data is in a direct correlation with the quality of the metadata. Let's start with the basic things. We have in the database, we have hundreds of different attributes, always different meanings, always different codes that each have different meanings. The code's meaning changes over time. It can be different for different subsets of the data. Usually, the metadata, which is basically data dictionaries, data models, data catalogs, the metadata, unfortunately, is usually very much out of sync with reality. It's incorrect, it's incomplete, it's obsolete. Organizations usually lack discipline and tools and staff to ensure that the metadata, the description of the data, is really correct and up to date. Now, unfortunately, what happens is that the metadata somehow tends to drag the quality of the data down. If metadata is not accurate, inevitably over time the data quality suffers. This happens a lot of times during the conversion or any system upgrade or conversion exercises, because usually the conversion mappings are based on the metadata, and if it's wrong, we end up with the wrong data. Data uses suffer because people assume that they have something or it means something, which it doesn't. Any data quality efforts suffer because even when we talk about data quality assessments, we design the rules, and the rules are based on our understanding of what the data is. So if we don't have good metadata, our rules are going to be incorrect, and our assessment is going to be useless. So metadata is really very important, and the reality is that we have many different tools to create and collect metadata. We can do data profiling, and we can gather lots of metadata. Also, the assessment itself produces lots of metadata. It produces the listings of errors. It produces the rules, the rule catalogs. So there is lots of metadata. You'll find, actually, that the volumes of metadata sometimes approach the volumes of the data itself, or at least the complexity of it does. So if we cannot find a way to efficiently organize our metadata, then you can collect a lot of it, but you cannot use this information, and it becomes useless. The challenge is, it's kind of a similar challenge. 20 years ago, our technology made a huge leap forward, and we learned the abilities to gather large volumes of data, to organize and process large volumes of data. Relational databases, then later data warehousing. We have the ability to deal with large volumes of data. But the data quality starts suffering because we didn't have a discipline to think about quality of this data. Now kind of the same thing happens with metadata. We have the ability now to collect a lot of metadata, to profile data, to do data quality assessment. But if we don't plan how we're going to organize all of this metadata that we produce, then the same thing happens. We get a lot of it, the quality of it suffers. If the metadata is not good, the data is not good.
I think actually it would be a good way to kind of round out our conversation to get your take. What is your take on the current the data quality tools and technologies available on the market? I mean, you mentioned it's still a pretty young market. And what advice would you have to companies that are just starting out with data quality?
Well, that's a tough question. There are many vendors of data quality and data profiling tools out there. Most of the tools focus on several reasonably narrow areas of data quality management. In those narrow areas, the tools have made tremendous strides, and they're really very good tools. For example, if you need tools for records matching and deduplication, that's something that has been out there in the market for 7, 8, 10 years, and there are great tools for that. If you're looking for tools for column profiling or attribute profiling, things that are going to take attributes one at a time in your database and go through all the records and give you distributions of values, frequency charts, minimals, maximals, statistical characteristics, they're phenomenal tools. They've gone a long way, and they have good interface, and they do a lot of things. Unfortunately, at the same time, the tools focused on this few well-defined, very narrow types of problems, and obviously that's where that's where it was easiest to start because everybody had the same problem there. But where we stand right now is. As we're starting to deal with data quality across all kinds of data, and as we want to do a more comprehensive data quality assessment, not just look at names and addresses, not just look at customers' data, but look at financial data, look at HR data, look at payroll data, look at insurance claims data, there's really a very big gaps in between what tools have and what people need. So I know that a couple of years ago was a survey, and something to the tune of 80%+ of respondents said that they were basically custom coding. And I don't think it changed much because as people are looking at data quality problem broadly, they find that the tools can only give them a reasonably small mileage. So the bottom line is there is a big need there out there on the market. And at this point, overall, the data quality needs of the customers are certainly not met by the existing vendors. But in the certain niches, the tools have made great progress.
Does that mean that companies that want to improve their data quality are going to have to do a lot of this work in-house?
Yes, that's definitely the case. It's kind of a catch-22 because, here's what happens. I talk to a lot of vendors, and the reality is there is not enough demand for some advanced tools for them to make the serious investment. And, because the market is so young, and most companies are just starting it, and they're feeling their way through it. So vendors are not making a leap forward, and they're not creating a tool that would help companies do what they really need. Well, companies struggle because it's tough to do what they need without a good tool.
It's kind of the chicken and the egg problem.
Right. Now, part of that, of course, is that up until a few years ago, there's really no good place to go to learn how to do it. I mean, right now, between myself and a couple other experts, with the books that are coming out, with all the training courses that we teach at various conferences, there's more and more people. I'd say that I taught just last year over 1,000 people in my classes. So I think that this is where kind of we're giving it a new beginning. As more people know how to do it and what exactly they need to do, they're starting doing it. They're going to vendors with more pointed questions, asking for more specific features. And so I think that eventually the tool market is going to start picking up on that.
Great. Okay, well, thank you so much for your time today.
Sure, thank you.